I'm Dan Carell, CEO of the Digital Commerce Alliance, and this is Commerce Code, a bi-weekly digital commerce podcast for leaders in card linking, loyalty and digital marketing, mobile wallets and payments, and financial data. Thanks for joining this running conversation with leaders in the industry. And if you like this podcast, come join us at a Digital Commerce Alliance event. You can learn more at www.digcomall.org. This week on Commerce Code, I'm talking with Peter Schulze and Ben Straley of Kigo. Peter is CEO and Ben is president and chief product officer there at Kigo, where they've developed a tokenized offer delivery system that complements existing card-linked offer networks. Today, we're talking about how their approach makes it possible to reimagine value delivery for issuers, merchants, and consumers. Through tokenization, the Kigo system is able to deliver more content, more merchant flexibility, instant value to the cardholder, and better attribution. On top of that, offers are shareable and dynamic, so the offer can change even after a consumer has received it. Taken together, this can drive astonishing new relevance and personalization for the cardholder community and significant new sources of income for issuers and payment networks. So, stay tuned for Reimagining Global Offers, Tokenization's Impact on Issuers, Merchants, and Consumers, a conversation with Peter Schulze and Ben Straley of Kigo. This episode of Commerce Code is brought to you by Kigo, a digital asset company leading a new era of open loyalty. Kigo expands loyalty programs through a new class of experiential digital asset rewards, enables the sharing or trading of any type of digital or physical reward, and streamlines cross-brand collaborations at scale, all using blockchain and Web3 technology. Backed by Agio, a global loyalty and engagement technology leader, Kigo empowers Fortune 500 companies to deliver extraordinary engagement experiences for employees, consumers, channel partners, members, and subscribers. Kigo, unlocking the future of loyalty. Ben and Peter, great to have you on Commerce Code. Where are you joining us from today?
Hey, Dan, thanks for having us. Peter here, joining from balmy St. Paul, Minnesota.
Excellent.
Hi there, this is Ben Straley, and you stole my line, Peter. I'm joining from sunny Seattle, Washington.
Well, look, we're excited to have you on Commerce Code. It's going to be a cool conversation about some new stuff, you know, interesting kind of innovations. And so we're going to get to a conversation about how you are using tokenization to really transform the offer experience for consumers, and not to mention for merchants and for issuers, all that stuff. But I want to start kind of up front with what is tokenization, like just at a basic level, and then we can kind of dive into the stuff.
I'm actually going to start with a preface, which is it's a lot less about the technology and it's a lot more about the value that it can create and the new possibilities for merchants, for issuers, for people. So we'll really focus on the impact of this tech, but you know, it's really taken a life of its own and resonated in ways we didn't expect. To answer your question, though, many have heard now, you've got Jamie Dimon or Larry Fink on CNBC talking about, you know, blockchain and tokenization being the future of all assets. But what does that even mean? I'll give you my simple version. Ben maybe has a different version, but my simple version is when you tokenize something, it puts it in a digital format that allows you to do a lot more with it. It's more portable. It's more global. It's verifiable. It's trackable. And tokens can represent a lot of things. They sort of went to the mainstream through currency, right? You've got Bitcoin. You've got some of the other leading cryptocurrencies that have now sort of reached the mainstream financial world. You've got stocks, other assets, but you've also got different types of things that can be tokenized. In our world, you look at a digital offer in many forms. You've got loyalty assets like a gift card, or it might be an event ticket, other forms of value that might be delivered to someone. And when you tokenize this content, it can be programmed with these special rules and behaviors. So as an example, you can make them more personalized. You can make them more gamified. You can either use this tech to deliver experiences across brands in really unique ways. And what's changed over the last several years is you're now seeing most leaders in the financial services sector and a growing number of major brands leveraging this technology in really interesting ways. And so I know we'll dive a little bit deeper into some of those use cases in a moment, but I'll maybe see if Ben has anything to add just in the lens of tokenization.
Yeah, I think you did a nice job of hitting a lot of the key points, Peter. The only thing I would just underscore is that opportunity to collaborate across brands. We see the impact that that can have when it happens on consumer engagement. Tokenization is a technology that allows brands to partner and collaborate in ways that are much faster and less expensive to execute. Just a quick anecdote to that point. I spent a few years at Starbucks, led the global digital products team there. We spent a year plus, there were probably about 50 of us between my teams and the Starbucks teams and the teams at Spotify to essentially create a collaboration across those two companies and membership bases. 50 people a year, you know, you can do the math, and that's a lot of time and a lot of expense. With this technology, with tokenization, those kinds of collaborations and the time it takes to actually bring something like that to market goes from a year to a week or 2 weeks. So the impact isn't just on the consumer experience, but it's also on the opportunities that we see for companies and brands and programs to collaborate in new and interesting ways.
Ben, you've started to answer, I think, or maybe given the core of the answer for what I was thinking as we were starting this conversation about tokenization, which is, well, what does it allow you to do that you sort of couldn't do before? And I'm imagining from, you know, your description, and I also have a certain vision of a token in my mind, right? The world's most simple token in a way is the old, I don't know if either of you ever wrote, probably not, the old Boston T, but like you'd get any public transportation system like that in the old days. And I think Boston maybe kept it longer than most because I actually did this once. You'd buy a token. It was literally like a little coin, except for it wasn't an American coin. It was a Boston T coin, right? It's the most simple token in the world. So that's a thing that stands for something, which is I get to go on one ride. I really think of it in this context as more like an alphanumeric that stands in for me. That might be oversimplified, but it's an alphanumeric that stands in for a right or something. That's my simplified vision. And then obviously when you put it in the Web3 context, there's a lot, it's much more dynamic and capable, right? So it's just in my mind, kind of like what I'm imagining. And I'm wondering, like, what does it allow you to be able to do? Your example there of Starbucks, and I think it was Spotify, is that if you need to like custom attach, you know, each piece to, you know, right, each piece to each other piece between the two firms in terms of how things are done, then that's going to be a custom thing each time. And I'm assuming that there's something about tokenizing things that makes it a much more like universally compatible arrangement where like all the parts screw into all the other parts and you've kind of solved in advance the standards issue or something like that. So that's kind of how I'm, again, in a primitive way in my mind, imagining it. But I wonder how you would describe like, what is it that you're able to, you couldn't do before, and why?
I think you did a really good job of describing what the benefits of tokenization are in terms of the capabilities that it unlocks. So the first key is that by tokenizing a wide range of rewards and offers that Peter described earlier into this standard format, it creates a level of sort of flexibility and adaptability for what a customer can do with that particular token. The other key is the wallet, which I think we'll get into in a little bit. But the wallet is the application that essentially can take any token and then use the information that is attached to the token to then provide a very kind of seamless, engaging experience for the customer. And so a lot of that complexity that you're talking about, Dan, in terms of the coordination between, in my case, in the case of the example I gave between Starbucks and Spotify, at the level of databases and data dictionaries and all of the things that I would imagine a lot of folks in the audience for this podcast are familiar with, all of that complexity kind of goes away. And what you're left with is a token with a particular set of information or instructions about what it is, what it's for, what the holder of the token can do with it, coupled with the wallet, which is the application that essentially enables the user or the holder of that token to do those things that come along with those instructions for the token itself. But I'll sort of kick it over to you, Peter, to take it from there.
What I'll do is I'll sort of bring this back into the context of, you know, the world of offers. But really quickly, to build on something you said, Dan, all it is, I know we're talking a lot about tokens and wallets. All of this technology sits in the background. So the person using the offer never even realizes they're using this technology. But what it is it's basically a digital wrapper around content that, I think you put it well, it creates sort of a universal delivery system for any form of offer, any form of reward anywhere in the world. And that's the big idea here, is that it opens up so many new possibilities for delivering rewards and offers to consumers. You know, you look at, just going back to the context of card-linked offers, if you look at the current landscape of CLO, and as you know, we at Agio built one of the leading CLO platforms. We grew to a little over 100 million cardholders before we spun it off to JPMorgan Chase. And there are a lot of benefits to the card-linked offer delivery format. And that's really what it comes down to, is the delivery system is where all the value is created. So, you know, you think of CLO, the offer is linked directly to your card. So it's super convenient to go use. There's an attribution model that allows advertisers to fund the program, but there's also some limitations. As you know, at any given point in time, there are maybe 20 or 30,000 offers in the total universe of card-linked offers. They're typically a little bit lower discounts. They're 4 to 5% cash back. The cardholder pays the full price at the point of sale, and then they get a statement credit, you know, maybe 30 or 60 days later with their cash back. So it's not ideal for the consumer in that way. What we realize is, you know, you look at the broader universe of offers outside of card linked, there are maybe 10, 20 times more offers that exist in the broader universe. You think about all the show and save coupon networks around the world. We happen to own the largest one in the United States, the Entertainment Network, where we've got 500,000 unique offers, but there are networks like these all around the world. They're typically deeper discounts, you know, they're 25, 50% off, sometimes buy one, get ones. They deliver value immediately to cardholders when they pay at the point of sale. So it's all instant. So the question we ask is, well, why isn't that content valued in the same way that card-linked content is? Because it's better content. There's way more of it. It all comes down to one word, and that word is delivery. And our whole thesis around this technology is the delivery of the offer content is often more important than the content itself. And so how we're leveraging this technology in the offers world is we've built a new delivery system for offers, leveraging tokenization. And what that does is it creates a standard, to use your word, universal delivery format for offers. And what that means is it supports a much wider array of offer types, show and save, barcode scan, discount codes, even card linked and affiliate offers, and delivers all of that content in a way that's really consistent and convenient for users. You know, you think about a cardholder that swipes their card to fuel up at the pump. You could literally in real time airdrop a show and save coupon into the person's digital wallet that they can get, then go use to redeem for snacks inside the convenience store. Another example, just in the world of offers, is let's say you've got a population of coffee drinkers that are, you know, swiping their card at Starbucks every week. You could now take a CPG brand, let's say like a Folgers, and you could push out a digital coupon that could be redeemed at any retailer that sells Folgers. And you're able to deliver that in a really consistent user experience alongside all of the other types of offers in a typical merchant-funded offers program. So there are a ton more interesting use cases probably than the examples that I just gave that we can dive into, but those are some of the ways that we're seeing the opportunity to leverage this tech in the world of offers.
So, I mean, there's so many things I've wondered as you've been talking along, and you're addressing a lot as we go, in terms of like, what problems does it solve and what are the main things you're trying to achieve? Let me try and work it through with an example though, because I still want to get it solid in my mind. And for those that are listening, I have a line of tortoise themed accessories, onesies, you know, for tortoises, among other things, clothing, you name it, but for, you know, pet tortoises. And so I'm a product guy. I don't have a retail outlet. Dan's Tortoise Emporium is still like the dream, but it's not there yet. So I just have a product, right? So let's imagine, and I'm part of a big organization, whatever, Procter & Gamble or something like that, and I'm selling this stuff. You know, I want to do a promotion, right, for people who want to buy their new next tortoise outfit. Like, how does it sort of reach from the consumer perspective? Is it like it's through their phone? Like, how does it reach, get to them? And then how do they go, and let's just say that this is something they can buy at Target or whatever, some retailer. Like, and then how do they kind of redeem that thing?
So Ben mentioned the idea of a digital wallet. One of the silver linings, I should say, of what happened in 2020 with COVID and the lockdowns is that people were familiarized very, very quickly with the idea of a digital wallet. scanning a QR code, pulling up your, as an example, your Apple Wallet to pay. The same idea applies here. So we've taken the idea of a digital wallet and turned that into the channel to deliver offer content. And so whether it's a card linked offer or it's a scan and save CPG offer, I'll bring up the, you know, the Folgers example, that offer gets put into a digital wallet that you're then going and scanning at the point of sale to redeem your discount. So it's super easy. People are familiar with it. And what it does is it dramatically expands the amount of content that you can deliver to cardholders. We like to give the example of Spotify, just to bring the Spotify example back up. You know, if you only have 10 songs, you can only personalize a playlist so much. But if you have 10 million songs, you can do way more in terms of delivering personalized and relevant playlists. And so the idea here is taking that same concept, how do you deliver 10 times more offers and surface them in more personalized ways while you open up more delivery formats for offer content? So I mentioned CPG offers being a big one. There's this whole universe of show and save, scan and save offers that's currently being sort of left behind in the world of your bank card offers program. We're bringing that type of content in through this digital wallet experience.
So if I'm just imagining I've got a digital wallet, I probably need some kind of notifications enabled realistically, right? Just because I'm me and if it doesn't come up, maybe I don't go there. So I get notified maybe when new offers come in, something like that. I can probably tailor inside the wallet itself, like what my preferences are maybe, or so kind of the things that I'm interested in, like, hey, I'm really into tortoises, whatever. Is that, that's presumably part of this?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I'll probably kick it over to Ben to kind of walk through that, how that works. But the idea is that the wallet becomes kind of a communication channel in its own right, in addition to being a place that you save the offers that you plan to go use. And the idea is this wallet gets plugged right into your banking app. So you're pulling up your banking app, you've got the, you know, handful of offers. You've got your, what would you buy for your tortoise? Your tortoise food scan and save discount?
Yeah, there is that. Although I will say, you know, we just had our, I mean, it for me, it's a little difficult sometimes to distinguish between the stuff that's fake and the stuff that's real. But we, our actual tortoise was in the backyard yesterday wearing her outfit ever so briefly because it comes right off. So what she really needs is a new outfit that fits better. That is, well, I'll leave it to you as to determine how true that is. But so a tortoise outfit, we need a new tortoise onesie.
Got it. So maybe I'll kick it over to Ben to walk through how Dan would access his tortoise onesie discount.
There you go. And Ben, I'm just going to say, because I realize I may have made this slightly challenging, let's just stipulate that our tortoise also likes to listen to Spotify, because I believe it's true.
Excellent. Excellent. That is a small but highly lucrative target audience. Just kind of coming back to what Peter was describing a moment ago, to your question, Dan, is the fact that we're able to create the sort of volume of offers and that selection that we've talked about is kind of step one. And then step two is when you have those 10 million songs, to use the Spotify example, then personalization becomes really powerful as a means of driving engagement with consumers. And so in the context of offers, you know, we have this engine that's creating a massive volume of offers. In this case, potentially, it is an offer for a particular onesie for tortoise owners. You know, the Tortoise Emporium retailer wants to push out to consumers on our platform. That becomes possible. And then the trick or the magic of it is using a combination of transaction data as well as just the engagement data that we capture through the wallet experience. Our platform is really good at making educated guesses about which customers across the complete set of customers are going to find that onesie offer relevant and compelling. That's going to get them to add it to their wallet, let's say, and then go in and complete the purchase. So the ability to create that volume of offers is kind of step one, as I said. And then step two is having algorithms and the ability to personalize the offers so that every member of this network, every member of a loyalty program or card program can expect and starts to get sort of trained to expect highly relevant offers to their particular interests and preferences. That really is key to delivering the sort of incremental impact of offers programs now and going forward. You know, just thinking about the kind of contrast between card linked and these tokenized offers, we don't view them as replacements for one another. We really view them as complementary. know, card linked are, you know, you're always on general offers, some delayed gratification where, you know, you see your cashback hit your statement 30, 60, 90 days later. On top of that, these really personalized, relevant offers, surprise and delight, onesie offers can be delivered directly to the wallet and then delivers instant gratification when the customer goes in to redeem that offer. So we think the combination of the two is really interesting, and the kinds of experiences and targeting and personalization that can be unlocked with these programs and our platform is pretty exciting. And we know that the Tortoise owners out there are going to be thrilled.
I mean, it's while real, my example is also strange on purpose, right? So it's way out on the furthest end, right, of the diminishing, you know, kind of curve of like, what do people want, right? And if you have to tailor it, and I guess the point maybe, I think that I'm understanding it now is like, look, and this is just kind of through a certain kind of economic lens, is if the transaction cost of even having an offer like that, right? Because of course, if you even have to discuss this for a millisecond at the, you know, global headquarters of Kigo, he wants what for his Tortoise, right? Like it's worth nobody's time. But the point is, if you've lowered the transaction cost of having that massive catalog, to use the Spotify example, available, everything's completely interchangeable. It's like, look, it's fine. We can carry, like, can we carry Tortoise? Of course we can have Tortoise onesie offers. Like, it's like, whatever. There's like 4 people a year are going to buy those things, right? But that's okay, because we've made it. And to your point, it doesn't get, there's a signaling effect that might take place too, right? Which is like, everybody's got the sort of obscure thing that they're into. And I'm now committing to the airwaves forever that people are going to be like, yeah, Dan's the guy who like dresses his Tortoise up. I mean, it's true, but please don't overestimate how much I care. But you know, the point is like, it has a signal effect of like, well, gosh, if they know that I'm into early 20th century cars or whatever, and there's some content in there that makes me like trust this platform, because it like they've got the range. They also know that I eat food like normal humans, and so I get offers for that stuff too.
That's right. Just really, really quickly to build on that, you know, I spent, in addition to spending some time at Starbucks, I was at Amazon for a few years and I led the worldwide deals business there. And this is exactly the dynamic that Amazon and others, and certainly not exclusive to Amazon, tap into, which is, you know, massive selection across many, many categories, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of shoppers coming every day. How do you create an experience for that size of an audience that feels, you know, personalized and relevant to each one? We did this with deals, and we're doing this now with offers at Kigo, which is, you know, using data to identify that signaling effect, and then having the necessary catalog of offers that for any user, any customer that's coming to an offers experience, there is going to be something relevant there for them. And in your case, you know, of onesies, there's probably, you know, pet food, tortoise food, et cetera, that you also may be interested in purchasing. For brands, for merchants to have the opportunity to deliver an offer directly to a customer that is in market for, let's say, consumables like pet food, there is a premium that those brands are willing to pay to reach those customers, provided that signal is strong enough. And this platform and what we're talking about and personalization and tokenization is really sort of optimized for exactly that type of engagement that creates benefits not only for the customer, the Tortoise owner, but also the merchant and the issuer of the bank.
Commerce Code is brought to you in part by VantageScore. 8 of the top 10 banks and over 3,400 leading banks and fintechs use VantageScore to predict and manage repayment risk. Learn more about the latest advances in credit scoring and how to grow your lending business by leveraging financial inclusion at VantageScore.com.
I think this takes us to something as hot, has been hot in the last 6 months, a year. It's this idea of media networks. It's been around longer than that, I think. But your comment about like brands saying, hey, if we can reach this consumer through this channel, right, that's got a lot of value to us. And I wonder where you would fit sort of the tokenization capability or just even technique, let's say. Because to your point, like, it's not so much about the technology, but there's a sort of it's just an angle, it's an approach. where does that fit into the media network landscape? And so maybe we can start a little bit with like, what is a media network, just for anybody who's listening and is a little fuzzy on that? And then where does your approach of tokenization fit in?
One thing I'll say before we get into the media network discussion is, you know, I just want to build on something Ben shared in his experience at Amazon in the deals business, is that when you look at a bank card offers program, as an example, in order to deliver, you know, the type of experience Amazon is delivering to their consumers, they've got tens of millions of products and an abundance of deals to sort through and to personalize. If you were to do that in a bank card program, you need a technical foundation and a delivery format that's universal, no matter what type of offer content it is. And the reality is that today, the way that it works is your card linked offers are over here. You've got your affiliate offers over here. You've got your show and save, your hyperlocal offers over here. The reality is, from a cardholder perspective, I don't really care what format the offer is in. In other words, it doesn't matter to me. All I see is I've got a discount that's being delivered in one way on one side, and I've got a discount that's being delivered in another way over here. Ben always makes this joke, coming from his product background, that your architecture is showing. Like, there's no reason that those offers should be in different places, but you bring out this sort of universal delivery format, and you now have a framework to onboard 10, 20, 30 times more content and deliver it in a way that's really convenient and accessible for consumers. So that's, I think, one of the last things I wanted to touch on just in that discussion. But, you know, you think about the world of, just to shift gears to your question, the idea of a media network. What we're seeing play out is what many are calling the third wave of digital advertising, the rise of media networks. And brands like Amazon, coincidentally, are seeing the value in taking their unique audiences and all their unique first-party data. You think of the size and scale of the audience Amazon has today and the really unique shopping and transactional data that Amazon is collecting, and making that data available and the audience available to complementary brand partners as a channel to advertise, to reach and engage customers. And that's really what a media network is. You're starting to see, you know, commerce, the idea of a commerce media network with Chase Media Solutions. That was the business Agio built and spun off. It was referenced in a recent Wall Street Journal article. Basically, what Chase is doing is, on a fully anonymized basis, so no creepy data stuff, they're taking their card transaction data, they're bumping that up against POS level data to allow brands to come in and deliver offers to people in more personalized ways. And so you take that one step further. We think about using this technology to build what we're starting to call almost like a loyalty media network. You've got first-party data from our loyalty partners, not only in the financial services space, but also in the telecom space, in the membership space, retail, QSR, and bumping those unique proprietary data sets up against FI data. What that does is it gives merchant advertisers way more flexibility and way more sort of unique targeting and segmentation capabilities to deliver offers in way more personalized ways. And it, you know, maybe to say it more simply, what we're doing is we're enabling brands to collaborate and delivering more value to their customers with merchant partners funding it. So that's how we're kind of thinking about this space and the way that tokenization is starting to play into it.
It makes complete sense in terms of just, I think of it, you know, I always partly find things easier when I now analogize back to just, you know, the real world. And whether it's mental or physical, if you're going to make a trip somewhere, Peter and I are within, I don't know, whatever, 15 miles or so of the first ever indoor mall, right? And the extreme example, of course, and that evolves into other things. And then we've got the Mall of America here. And, you know, there's times, right, when you're just like, I don't even totally know exactly what, like, I need to solve a certain problem. I need something, but I'm not totally, let's just go there, right, from the consumer perspective, and we'll be able to solve it, right? We'll figure it out. And to me, there's sort of matching up that consumer behavior with, you know, the, whether it's a brand or a merchant, you know, desire to be able to capture that opportunity, that moment when people say, I don't know what I need exactly, or, you know, I'm going to go there physically or virtually. And the media network is there in a way that hopefully is more tailored and that is targeted and that has some understanding of people coming in and can kind of solve it.
That's exactly right.
You know, I can't resist but toss in, and this is a callback to your architecture is showing, but my favorite story in that zone, and we can maybe wrap a little after this with some last thoughts. But it was the case, and I'm going to go ahead and just imagine that it's been fixed, although probably not, that the rare books collection at Oxford University was cataloged according to one principal criteria, which was the last name of the family that donated the books in question. That's how it was cataloged, right? So if you were like, it was just assumed that if you were a scholar of, you know, classical Greece or whatever, you would know that it was like the Arrowsmith or the Churchill family or whatever that was also interested in that. And they probably are the ones who donated it. So that's where you would go to look for the stuff. The point is, like, it had nothing to do with this. It was just totally uncorrelated with anything about the material. And we do that all the time. But from the inside, if you're the librarian there, you're like, oh, well, but of course the Churchill family would have donated that stuff. It's over in Churchill. And, you know, right? And the researcher's thinking, are you high? But we do this all the time to customers. And by saying, well, but this is this kind of an offer, or this is that kind of a thing. I mean, we just, you know, your point really is sometimes it's a lot of work for industries to work their way back to something that everybody would look at it and go, well, but why wasn't it like that? You know, like, why wasn't it always like that? And the answer is it's complicated, but not talking about how complicated it is in front of the customer was the important thing, and we got there. I'd be interested to just maybe get a last thought from each of the two of you on kind of what are you most excited about? When you think about all this stuff, and we've talked about a lot of things that represent, you know, sometimes incremental, sometimes huge changes in opportunity and in what can be done. What are you most excited about? Maybe we start with Ben and then go to Peter.
The reality is that people love to find offers. People love to feel like they're getting a deal. As long as, you know, the way that these offers and deals find people is through channels of their choosing and that they're relevant and, you know, somewhat specific. And through that lens, offers, broadly speaking, can be a fantastic tool for businesses, for banks, issuers, membership programs, retailers, brands, to drive and sort of capture the attention of the folks that they want to reach. And what I'm excited about is these new kind of emerging capabilities that allow for that dynamic to take shape, where consumers are getting a better experience. There are these little micro moments of surprise and delight in their daily lives that are driven by the offers and the opportunity to, you know, try something new, to save a little bit of money along the way, to earn rewards. And that's really what I think gets me and a lot of the folks on the team, you know, excited every day when we start working on this, is we're building a platform that really not only kind of taps into that dynamic between consumers and brands and programs, but also does it at scale. And we think it's, you know, going to be a transformative force for customer experience going forward. So that's what I'm excited about and eager to continue to push forward.
I'm going to distill that into trillions of micro moments of surprise and delight, which I think is what it is. That's what it, trillions, because the numbers are big. Peter, what do you think?
I don't think I could have said it better than Ben or even that last comment. Trillions of moments of surprise and delight. We love that. What's personally exciting is seeing the impact of some of this technology, you know, just making experiences more fun, more engaging, more personalized. You know, so much of our world today is transactional. It's do this, get that. I think there's such a huge opportunity in the world of loyalty and offers to, you know, to transition to a world that is more personalized, that's more engaging, that's more experiential. And we didn't even talk about more shareable. This tech allowing people to share and experience things with friends, with family. This technology is really an enabler for that. So I think that's what makes me really excited. And just I think what we didn't appreciate early on, you know, we came together, Ben and I have both been working sort of at the intersection of blockchain and the world of loyalty for a few years now, but we formally came together a little over a year ago to form this business. And I think what none of us appreciated at the time was how big this and how transformative this tech can actually be. It's been resonating in ways we didn't expect. And what's really cool is this tech is scalable on a global level. We're seeing, you know, blockchain playing out in the world of commerce. It's sort of behind the scenes, steadily growing as a new technology to transact. And it's inevitable the same thing is happening in the world of loyalty, in the way that people interact with deals, with offers, in the way that loyalty and value is delivered to consumers. And so I think it's really exciting on a personal level to see the impact, but also, you know, the size and scale of this technology is quite remarkable. So I think it's still very early days, I'll say that, but the opportunity and what we're building is exciting.
That's terrific. I mean, I'll just say it's a space that cries out for improvement, rationalization, help. Like everybody in this space believes in the need for something or the opportunity for something better. And it's a matter of individually and collectively, like firms figuring out how to deliver that. This is a really exciting vision and technology and implementation that's in that space. And I think you guys see the opportunity. You started to see, it sounds like, some execution and some excitement about the execution as well. So delighted to have you on Commerce Code. Great conversation. We look forward to having you back. And best of luck keeping that sunny weather in Seattle, Ben. And then Peter, you and I will get the shovels out in about a week.
That's exactly right. Thanks so much, Dan. We super appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Dan.
Commerce Code is sponsored by Pentadata, the all-in-one financial data API. Whether it is bank account data, credit card transaction data, or credit reports and credit scores, Pentadata has it all in one simple and easy-to-use API. With coverage of over 6,000 banks, over 200 million credit files, and 60 million merchants, you can get all the data you need for your apps at pentadatainc.com. Commerce Code is a bi-weekly podcast bringing you conversations with executives who are leading the way in digital commerce. If you like Commerce Code, your company should join the Digital Commerce Alliance and become part of our mission of advancing trade for good through standard setting, industry networking, conferences, and best practice sharing. Check out our website at www.digcomall.org. On behalf of DCA, have a great week.